Here we go, getting over the hump. It is a Wednesday edition of the Sports Rush, and not just any Wednesday. It's a White Sox Wednesday. We've got tickets, a four-pack of tickets, to go to the White Sox game that comes up on June 25th. That will be a week from Friday. They'll take on the Seattle Mariners. We've got a four-pack of tickets to give away, so hang on. You got a chance to win with our very first White Sox Wednesday here on the Sports Rush. Big show on the way coming up later this hour. The festivals are back, and thank goodness we finally are getting back to some normalcy this summer, and Ribfest returns to Headwaters Park, and we're going to find out all about it when Mark Chappius comes in and joins the show coming up about 30 minutes from now. We'll tell you what to expect from this year's edition of Ribfest. Of course, not held last year, but it is back. And also on the show, Shane Alberani, voice of the Comets, is going to join us. I know that we talked to Ben Boudreaux yesterday, the team on a bus heading down to Dallas today. But Shane, the prima donna that he is, gets to fly down to Dallas. He'll be taking the flight tomorrow. So we'll talk to him today and get his reaction on the Comets' victory over Wichita and what to expect from the Allen Americans when that series gets started on Friday. Of course, the big story today, and I guess we should call it stories, is everything happening in the NBA. I mean, it is storyline after storyline, punch after counterpunch. You've got coaches out. You've got players out. The storylines have continued all day long, starting this morning. And I know, Caleb, we were exchanging, like, texts trying to see if we could one-up the other. It's like, oh, I've got a breaking story. Oh, yeah, I've got a breaking story, going back and forth, because first we learned about Chris Paul from the Phoenix Suns, that Chris Paul is entered the NBA health and safety protocols pertaining to COVID. And I guess this, I mean, I don't want to make an assumption here, but is this just a really fancy way to say he's got COVID without saying he's got COVID? I mean, it sounds like it, but
I saw elsewhere that he tested positive. Now, again, you get into weird, tricky situations. We were talking about this off air before the show. If you're fully vaccinated but still get it, which is possible,
right?
Then what do you do? I mean, I get that they have the health and safety protocol thing, and
you could still pass it along,
yeah,
to those that, well, primarily to those that aren't vaccinated, but you can still be a carrier and pass it along. But if you know, it is one of those situations, because here's the whole thing with the vaccine. It's not like a concrete wall. It doesn't necessarily keep you completely invincible from getting COVID. But what it does do is it prepares your body to be able to fight the virus should you get it. And, you know, yes, you're going to be protected from it quite a bit by having the vaccine. But also there is still a chance you could become positive for the virus. And what we've seen and what the scientists have seen is that if you're vaccinated, you generally develop very mild symptoms, if symptoms at all. And a case in point, John Rahm, PGA golfer, who just had that positive test just after his third round at Muirfield Village, part of the Memorial Tournament in Dublin, Ohio. He had been a close contact. Eventually, 5 days later, tested positive for COVID. But he revealed this week that, yes, he was double vaccinated, and he still tested positive for COVID. And now, I don't know Chris Paul's situation, if he was fully vaccinated, But if he has tested positive for COVID, he's going to be out. And the protocols have not changed for this season. So he is going to be out, what is it, 7 days until he gets, and then he has to have, what, a third negative test before he can return. I mean, it's an undisclosed amount of time. We're not really sure when he will return. Here's the thing. What are you, about a week away from the Western Finals getting started? And that's if the series goes seven games.
Yeah, there's no set date for when the West Finals would begin. Probably the earliest Tuesday of next week, but that seems a little early. Probably Wednesday.
Yeah, Tuesday or Wednesday, that's a week away. Mm-hmm. And if you're out, let's say, 10 days, then maybe you miss game one, could get back for game two. But the question is, how much can he do while he's out? Can he stay in shape? Can he jump right back on the court? Because look what we just saw with James Harden. Now, I don't know how much he's hurting, but last night James Harden rejoined the Brooklyn Nets, and he was no impact whatsoever. He was 1 for 10 from the field. He was 0 for 8 from 3. Everything he shot from 3 came up short. And, Chris Paul was kind of leading the Phoenix Suns in many ways. Now, they've still got Devin Booker, and they've still got plenty of talent on that team with Jay Crowder, and they've got Ayton inside. But, I mean, it's kind of like running the engine without the gas. You need Chris Paul out there for the Phoenix Suns. And by the way, I passed this word on, as soon as I heard it this morning, I passed the word on to DC Hendricks, our big Phoenix Suns fan that lives in Indiana. And you know what DC's reaction was? Conspiracy theory. They're out to get us. They don't want Phoenix to win a championship. And so isn't it funny that Chris Paul comes up with COVID, like they doctored the test or they're lying about the results. Come on, DC, you're better than that. But he was convinced that this is just an NBA conspiracy to take out the Suns. But Paul might be back for game two of the Western Conference Finals. It would be really nice if somehow he could get back on the court for game one, because Phoenix certainly needs him. And we've got other players we're not going to be seeing play, including Kawhi Leonard. Now, we saw him kind of hobble on that one play the other night in game four. But now, game five, he is not going to be playing for the Los Angeles Clippers. Kawhi Leonard ends up with a knee injury, and apparently there was a report that came out after they said he would miss game five that he has told teammates to be prepared that they will probably have to play the rest of this series without him, that he doesn't expect to be back at all in this series. Is that series over, or can Playoff P be the man for the Los Angeles Clippers? Now, I'll tell you this. I have tried to make my predictions on the NBA this year, and it has not been going well. I, again, kind of whiffed on last night's game. I said Kevin Durant could not be the man and completely carry Brooklyn to a win. Well, Kevin Durant dominated last night. Second half, just unbelievable. His performance led Brooklyn to a win over Milwaukee. And not just a win over the Milwaukee Bucks, but a come-from-behind win. They were 17 points down. They were, as I said, getting nothing from James Harden, who did play. And I guess if I have an out on this, Caleb, I did say that if James Harden doesn't play, Kevin Durant can't carry them by themselves. So in some ways, I wasn't totally wrong because James Harden played, but I was wrong about Kevin Durant because he was the one-man show last night. He did it all. 49 points, 17 rebounds, 10 assists. The Nets take the 3-2 lead in this series. What a huge performance at such a timely time for KD, Kevin Durant. But anyway, this is what I did say on the show a couple of days ago. KD has never been the guy that's willing to be the guy. He's always been, I'll be your right hand. And I can't call him a Robin, because I still think that KD is probably the best of the three that are in Brooklyn. But he's never had this kind of position and this kind of pressure. Can he handle it? I'm not so sure. And of course, that was when we were talking about James Harden and Kyrie Irving both not playing in the game last night. But Harden wasn't a real factor. He couldn't defend all that well. He wasn't moving all that well. He was shooting poorly. I just don't think he had the lift or he had the legs, because every three-point shot seemed to be front rim. He ended up 1 for 10 from the field, 0 for 8 from 3, scored just 5 points. Kevin Durant, unbelievable last night. I mean, I understand Kevin Durant's one of the top players in the NBA, but it's a different level that has to be achieved when you get to a playoffs, a pivotal game in the playoffs, the defense keying on you because of the circumstances surrounding the team and the injuries. Kevin Durant stepped up and delivered, and he made some tough shots, big plays. Got to give him credit. It wasn't what I expected from KD last night.
I would say that KD was the guy when he was in Oklahoma City. I get that Westbrook and Durant were kind of right there, like almost like a 1A, 1B, but I would still say KD was the guy in Oklahoma City. He definitely was the guy in Seattle.
Yeah, well,
for one season.
Yeah, but the situation in Oklahoma City, I mean, here's the thing, is if the defense does have to game plan for another superstar, then it gives maybe KD more one-on-one opportunities. But, I mean, it was pretty evident last night that Milwaukee didn't have to be too concerned about James Harden. The thing about Harden that makes him so tough to defend is, yes, he likes to take the three-point shot. But if you come out and run out or overplay that three-point shot, he's capable of attacking the rim and getting to the basket. He didn't have that acceleration. You could tell that it was just a step slow last night for James Harden, and so not much of an impact. But man, did Green play well? He came in, played huge in a support role. I mean, that's what you need to have. Guys step up in the absence of superstars, and you can almost consider James Harden half an absence because he wasn't that productive. But coming back from 17 down after Milwaukee had totally dominated early, I guess one of the questions here is we're putting so much focus on Kevin Durant, what an amazing performance he came up with in that second half, but this is an embarrassment to Milwaukee.
Yeah, well, I think some things are very clear. If the Bucks lose this series, Mike Budenholzer will be fired. I mean, I think that's pretty simple. And the Pacers, I know, are very much interested in having Budenholzer be their next head coach if he becomes available. That was reported last week. So I think that we know is true. Off of that, Budenholzer's inability to make in-game adjustments. I mean, the Bucks are who they are. And thirdly, kind of in relation to that second point, I mean, Giannis is a great player. Don't get me wrong. But Giannis is limited offensively. He's a drive-to-the-basket guy. He needs to develop an outside shot. He needs to develop other moves because, I mean, he's essentially a freak athlete who can score a lot of points if he can get to the bucket, but his free throw shooting is terrible. I mean, it really costs him late in that game. Three-point shooting is non-existent. He's got to develop an outside shot.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. I mean, you're right on with that. And that's the problem for Giannis is you can defend him, especially as you get later in games, because you can foul him. You can put him at the free throw line. And Brooklyn almost dared him to shoot three-pointers. They would give him three-point shots all night long. And I saw him hit one. I don't remember how many he hit for the game, but he certainly was not going to be a big factor from behind the three-point line. But this is an embarrassing loss for the Milwaukee Bucks because they had every chance to take advantage of Brooklyn's situation, and they didn't. They couldn't stop Kevin Durant, and a lot of that is just game plan and in-game adjustments. Like you said, Caleb, got to put this one a lot on the coach, and I'm sure he's going to pay the price if Milwaukee does not come back to win this series. But he's not going to be alone in the unemployment line when it comes to NBA coaches, because that's the other big news from today, is we've got other coaches that are out of their jobs. Now, one, Scott Brooks in Washington, it was a mutual decision. His contract had expired. They were trying to agree on new terms for a new contract. They decided they weren't going to come to an agreement, and they agreed to mutually part ways. They ended the discussion, the negotiations, and Scott Brooks is out in Washington. You also have Stan Van Gundy, who was let go by New Orleans. And I'm not a big Van Gundy fan. I mean, I don't think he achieved anything all that great down in New Orleans. I thought that was a decent roster that should have at least been right there for the playoffs. I think Brooks has achieved things at multiple places.
Yeah.
I'm kind of looking at the list that Kevin Pritchard wants as the next Pacers coach, and I'm trying to find out if any of these changes in the NBA will open up an opportunity for the Pacers to pick up their coach, because Kevin Pritchard wants an experienced NBA head coach. You mentioned Budenholzer. We've got Terry Stotts, former Portland coach, who's available. You've got now Scott Brooks. And I guess you can include Stan Van Gundy in the list, but I wouldn't want to include him. But I would say Brooks is a legit candidate. Budenholzer, legit candidate. Terry Stotts is a candidate. Now, the question is, would they come to Indiana? Because they might have multiple opportunities. And would Indiana be the job that they would want?
Well, and even with Stan Van Gundy, I understand you don't want him. I don't think he's the right fit for the Pacers, because I see him as a coach who can coach up a roster to be a playoff team, but can't really take them any further than that. He's not going to improve a team that's already an established, you know, kind of mid-level playoff team.
But that was
to
his job
in
New Orleans, and he failed at it. His job was to take this young roster with a superstar, budding superstar in Zion Williamson, and try to build them to a playoff team and take them to the next level, and they went backward.
Yeah, it didn't work, and Monty Williams is definitely getting the last laugh with all of that, and good for him. Yeah, I mean, Stotts, Brooks, Budenholzer, if he's let go. I mean, these are legitimate candidates. It's so hard in the NBA because a lot of it is fit with the personalities. It's not that a guy is a better coach than another guy. It's getting the guy who fits the players, the locker room, the organization. That is so much of it. Yeah.
I mean, because right now we know the Pacers do want to play fast. They do want to shoot more threes. We know that's Kevin Pritchard's desire to put a team on the floor that will play with that style, almost a Golden State style. But clearly, they need to play better defense. And last night, what we saw from Milwaukee, who normally is a decent defensive team, just not good. They could not stop Kevin Durant. So we've got plenty more NBA coming up on the show. We've got a chance for you to win White Sox tickets. It's our White Sox Wednesday. That means we've got a 4-pack of tickets. Plus, Caleb, did you say yesterday that it includes a parking pass? Is that right?
That is correct.
Wow. I mean, what a package. And it comes up. The game is a week from Friday at Guaranteed Rate Field in Chicago against the Mariners. We'll give you a chance to win, and I will just give you this little hint that your chance to win comes up in hour number two today. And we'll move it around. We'll keep you guessing. But since you're with us here in hour number one, I'll give you this hint. It will be a giveaway that will take place sometime in hour number two. Still coming up on the show, we've got Ribfest information. Mark Chappius will join us here in studio, hopefully with a nice little sampler. We'll see. If he doesn't show up with a sampler, we may or may not let him in the studio. We'll have to make that decision as well. Shane Alberani is going to join us. You know him as the voice of the Comets. Man, did he get excited when the Comets got that overtime goal from Matt Bowdens, who joined us yesterday. Shane is going to talk about that Wichita series, how competitive it was, how exciting it was. And we'll even ask Shane about that final call, if you know what was going through his mind on that goal that Matthew Bowden scored. But we've got Allen coming up starting Friday. Shane will make the trip. He'll be on site to give us the call of the Allen Americans and the Fort Wayne Comets game one of their best of five Western Conference Finals. And Shane will join us at 5:20. Busy, busy Wednesday here on the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Talking about the Tin Caps last night, they opened their series in Dayton. Everything looked to be going very well, just cruising to a comfortable win. They were up 4-1 heading to the bottom of the ninth inning, and then Dayton came to life. You know, Dayton's won 21 games this year, and 8 of them, they've overcome 3-run deficits to claim the victory, and they've done it multiple times in the bottom of the ninth inning, and they did it to the Tin Caps last night. Scored 4 runs at the bottom of the ninth, and the Tin Caps lose to the Dayton Dragons 5-4. And what was disappointing about it was yesterday we had Anthony Contreras, TinCast manager, on the show talking about Carter Lowen, who's been terrific as a closer, has 6 saves this year, leads the High A Central in saves, and yet he was not the guy called on to protect the lead and hold the lead in the bottom of the ninth inning. They went to Brandon Komar, who had pitched a very good 7th and 8th, and so they went ahead and trusted Komar to start the ninth. He got in some trouble. They brought in Sam Williams instead of Carter Lowen. And Sam Williams, I think, gave up 4 consecutive hits or 3 hits and a walk. But it was a short night for Sam Williams and a disappointing finish to the night for the Fort Wayne Tin Caps. They ended up losing 5-4 to start the Dayton series. Game 2 in that series from Dayton tonight. And John Nolan and Jack McMullen will be right back on the call here at 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM, starting with the Hoopy Insurance Services pregame show at 6:45. Well, they've made an announcement, I guess, as far as Colts camp. It is going to be at Graham Park, but they have also listed some of the protocols that are going to be in place for the Colts camp and what's going to be expected from fans. And fans are not going to be able to engage or interact with players, but I think this is still a year where you'll want to go down and check out Colts camp at some point. I kind of want to go down, Caleb, and a lot of times I'm like, I don't need to see them. I'll watch a preseason game, and that will pretty much get me into the mood for the season. I'll know enough about the team when the season starts that I don't need to watch them practice or I don't need to see a preseason game. This is one of those years, though, where I feel like we can learn a lot watching practice or watching the preseason. And that's because the Colts, first of all, start with a new quarterback that I think you kind of want to see. You want to see how he's doing with his receivers. Can he connect on some deep balls? Carson Wentz, and what does he look like? Does he throw picks? So I think that will be an intriguing part of this year's camp. And also, I'm interested in seeing what Jacob Eason can do. Without a preseason last year, we never had a chance to see Jacob Eason on the field, so we've never even seen him play in a Colts uniform. And I'd kind of like to see what he does and how close it appears that he is to being ready to be an NFL starting quarterback should something happen to Carson Wentz. So I think this would be a great year to be at Colts camp. But what they've said is that camp will be open for fans. They have to stay more than 20 feet away from Tier 1 staff, which includes players at all times, and adhere to physical distancing requirements. Fans will not be permitted to interact with players at any time. And that from Tom Pelissero on Twitter earlier today. So Graham Park, they're back. The Colts camp will be open to fans. There'll just be some restrictions. 46862, our Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. Found this interesting, Caleb. The Chicago Bears, Matt Nagy, after we said that we thought Justin Fields would undoubtedly be the starter, that you draft him, you go up, you get him, and you got him there now in Chicago. You're desperately looking for a franchise quarterback. You've just had so many troubles getting a guy that could be considered a franchise guy. Failed on Mitch Trubisky that, you know, with the competition being Andy Dalton, that Justin Fields would have every opportunity to be the starter in Chicago. Matt Nagy tried to put that to rest. He is very confidently and boldly stating that Andy Dalton is our starter and that he is going to be the starter. And game one, it will be Andy Dalton that's under center and not Justin Fields. I don't get the point of that. I'm like, go ahead and say that you've got two guys you feel are capable of starting and that there's going to be a competition. We're anxious to see what Justin Fields can do, and if he's ready to be a starter in the NFL, we'll evaluate that more in training camp, whatever. But don't you kind of set Justin Fields back if you take away the carrot? I mean, if the whole thing that keeps him motivated and driven to learn the playbook and to keep working and to be prepared is that he's got the potential to start. And if you come out and just boldly express that Andy Dalton is your starter, I think, for one, it kind of discourages some Bears fans who aren't that excited about Andy Dalton being the starter. It's not much of a change from Nick Foles being the starter. And I think Bears fans want to see Justin Fields, and I think it kind of takes a little bit of the wind out of Justin Fields' sail as well.
Flip side of that, and I'm not really buying the argument, I'm just saying the flip side is, by naming Andy Dalton, Justin Fields is now driven in camp to outperform Andy Dalton and quote-unquote earn the starting job back. Now, what I would say about all this says about the Bears, well, bad organizations are bad for a reason, right? This is just another reason.
This is, you got the Bears with this situation at quarterback. You've got a quarterback situation going on in Green Bay where Mark Murphy says that Aaron Rodgers is, quote, complicated. He's a complicated dude. Aaron Rodgers responds with, "I'm offended," with a t-shirt that he wore during a press conference, the NFC North. But yeah, you're right. I mean, when you look at the Bears and the struggles that organization has had and the struggles the organization has had under Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy, I understand that the Bears may want to take pressure off Justin Fields and maybe take a little bit of the spotlight or the pressure to be the starter away from him. But I just don't see the advantage in being this adamant that Andy Dalton is your guy, because there's plenty of guys out there that would be better and more appealing than Andy Dalton to be the starting quarterback in Chicago than Andy Dalton. But that's the latest coming out of Bears camp. 46862, we love your questions, comments, and suggestions. Don't forget, it is a White Sox Wednesday. That means we've got a four-pack of tickets to give away to White Sox baseball. They'll take on the Seattle Mariners a week from Friday at Guaranteed Rate Field. We're going to be giving away those tickets on today's show, and we'll give them away every Wednesday here on the Sports Rush. And just a hint for those of you tuned in here on the first hour of the Sports Rush, that we will be giving away those tickets sometime in hour number two today. So you want to be with us through the entire second hour for your chance, because you don't want to miss your cue to call in and win with White Sox baseball and 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Coming up next, it's time for the festivals to return to downtown Fort Wayne. Up this weekend, it is Rib Fest. We'll get all the details of all the family fun taking place at Headwaters Park when Mark Chappius joins us in studio next. This is the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Bell has come up with their new protocols involving vaccinated versus non-vaccinated individuals within the league. And they're not telling players or personnel that they have to be vaccinated. But if you look at what they're requiring of those that are vaccinated versus those that are not, they might as well just tell them you better be vaccinated by the time the season rolls around. For instance, fully vaccinated players will not have to undergo any daily testing, while not fully vaccinated players will have to have testing every single day. That means they'll have to be up, they'll have to report to testing sites, they'll have to be tested every single day if they're not vaccinated. For fully vaccinated individuals, masks will not be required in any club facility or on team travel, and not fully vaccinated, they're going to require masks anytime they report to a club facility or if they are traveling with the team. So, I mean, if you look, and there's a long list of these, we'll get to more of them coming up later in the show, but they just put this out today. It's a memo that went out to teams, and basically they're not telling you you have to be vaccinated, but if you look at the list and you look at the price you got to pay, if you're not vaccinated, you're going to end up being vaccinated as an NFL player. At least in my mind, I can't imagine you would go through those protocols for the entire season and versus the freedom that you would have if you were fully vaccinated. 46862, my voice just cracked. 46862 is the Parkview Sports Medicine text line. Ah, man, I feel like I'm 16 again. I almost liked it. You know, it's like one of those things when you go to the club and they card you. It's like, yes, let me show it to you. Please let everybody else in the club know I'm being carded. But anyway, we have got some normalcy coming to downtown Fort Wayne this weekend. It is great to have Rib Fest, Barbecue Rib Fest, returning to Headwaters Park. And to talk about all the fun and activities, we are joined on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline by Mark Chappius, who is going to talk about it. And Mark, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Hey, it's shaping up good down here. We're getting some exciting reports about the country opening up.
Absolutely. And we've had really good numbers with this whole COVID thing over the last couple of weeks here in Allen County. So it should be a safe, fun way to get back to normal downtown at Barbecue Rib Fest. Of course, you know, this is so much more than just great barbecue ribs. But that's where we've got to start, don't we? We've got to talk about the great ribs that are going to be available this weekend.
We got to talk about the great ribs. We've got a new team called Cowboys. They're up from Texas. And if anybody's been down around the Texas way, the boys know what they're doing down there in a big way. And we're excited to have him with us this year. And he's, you know, those guys are specialists at brisket, too. So even though there's a lot of ribs that go down, there's a bunch of brisket and barbecued chicken and pulled pork and all kinds of great barbecue stuff all weekend long by these guys that tour. Some of them just, one of them came in from Texas. We got a guy from South Carolina. We got a guy that just came in from a big show in Fargo, North Dakota. So we are really lucky to have these quality barbecue teams.
And you're talking about some of the greatest tasting ribs you're going to get anytime, anywhere. And it starts tomorrow, runs through Sunday at Headwaters Park. And let's talk about some of the other activities, because, like I said, it's not just ribs. There's a lot more happening, and there's plenty of entertainment and things for all of all members of the family. But let's talk about some of the music that you've got that's going to be performing this week.
Well, we've got a band, the Boggy Branch Band. We had them a couple of years ago, and the crowd absolutely raved about these guys. And so there, we had requests like, you got to get them back. You got to bring them back. So Boggy Branch actually is going to be playing Saturday and Sunday. And then on Friday night, we've got Petty and the Heart Shakers. These guys look and sound just like Tom Petty. The Tom Petty guy looks just like him. These are Nashville pros. They've all played in band, not in front of, but with the bands.
names like Carrie Underwood, Leanne Rimes, Amy Grant, Peter Cetera, Little Big Town, C. Daisy, and Ronnie Millsap. So not only are you going to see a great show, but you're going to see real pros that are producing it in a great, great fashion.
When is that show? What time and day is that show?
That show's Friday night, the Friday the 18th from 9 to 11. Yeah, they're, like I said, these guys are pros out of Nashville, and they're driving up. And I actually showed a video of these guys to a friend of mine. And he goes, "Well, wait a minute, this is Tom Petty, right?" Said, "No, this is the Petty and the Heart Shakers, the tribute act that we've got coming up."
Yeah, they look, and even their name resembles the actual band. And of course, so disappointing to lose Tom Petty before his time. All right, let's talk about family fun. There's other activities, other things that you can bring all members of the family to Ribfest.
Well, for lack of another word, we've got a few, and I say a few, carny games. Just, some balloon pops and things like that for the kids. We've got vendors that are selling various things, anything from jewelry to clothing to hats, that type of thing. So you can do some shopping while you're listening or between each going out on the dance floor. Then you can run over and shop some more.
And why don't you give us again what the hours of this are going to be? When do you open up? When do you close each night? What are the hours for people to come down and enjoy Barbecue Rib Fest?
We're 11:30 until about 11:30 Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And then Sundays for Father's Day, we open at 11:30, but we'll probably close up more like 7:30 that night.
And what about tickets?
Tickets, you know what? You don't need them on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday as long as you get in the doors before 5:30.
Wow.
Otherwise, an adult ticket is $6, and then kids 8 to 17 are $3. Under 8 are free. So very, very affordable. And on Sunday, dads get in free all day, Father's Day. And it's only a $3 cover for adults, and all kids get in free. So we're excited. The word on the street from the bands of the other events that they've been in this year, they said they've been off the hook. People are so tired of being cooped up, of being worried about whether they can go out and stay healthy. We're going to be social distancing in here. It's an outdoor event, which the CDC has now put on a lowest rating for, problems with catching it. And so we're just, we're really excited.
Absolutely. I mean, a year of so little to do, and now having an opportunity to go back to one of the events that's really Fort Wayne's favorite in Barbecue Rib Fest this weekend. Mark, appreciate you jumping on with us. Have a great weekend. Enjoy those ribs.
Okay, we'll sure do that. And thank you guys for checking in with us.
Absolutely. Mark Chappius joining us on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline. The barbecue ribs. Do you have a flavor? Is there a certain type of barbecue? Do you like a spicy barbecue, a honey barbecue? What is it that when you go to barbecue, there's all types of different barbecue.
Well, for one, so I have a lot of thoughts on this topic. One, a cookout and barbecue are not the same thing. Those are very different things. A cookout, hamburgers, hot dogs, that's it. A barbecue, it's got to have some other, grilled or smoked or just other variations of meat. Can't be hamburgers and hot dogs. It's got to be more advanced.
It's got to have some kind of sauce or something. Yeah. Doesn't it mean?
It could be a dry rub, but.
I guess is the barbecue the actual thing you cook it on, or is the barbecue the sauce? Is that, because to me, when I think barbecue, I think sauce.
I think either one, but I think of meat besides hamburgers and hot dogs for a barbecue. Now, when he said brisket and guys coming up from Texas, I was super excited because I love brisket, but I will only have it if it's from Texas because it's done different. It's better. Texas is different in barbecue in the sense that their brisket, in my opinion, is way better than anywhere else. However, the ribs are different because they're beef ribs and not pork ribs. I actually do not prefer the beef ribs. I like the pork ribs. So, but I'm excited for that. They're, of course, great sides that come with barbecue. I mean, I think of all the sides that I love to eat, you know, mac and cheese, baked beans, fried okra, collard greens, banana pudding. I mean, all that good
stuff. You're making me hungry now. All right. It was enough. I just asked the question about the barbecue. We don't know, need to go through an entire menu. Caleb Hatch telling us, yeah, let's just keep going. Let's elephant ears. I don't know what that has to do with anything that goes with barbecue, but elephant ears just part. To me, every summer festival should have elephant ears. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what it is, whether it's a rib fest, whether it's you know, who knows, festival. Every time you go downtown or go out to some type of outdoor event, there should be elephant ears.
I am a fan of elephant ears. Also, what's odd, Texas, they don't do elephant ears. It's only funnel cakes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, which I don't like funnel cakes. I'm an elephant ear guy myself as well.
There's that big a difference? To me, it's like waffles and pancakes.
Yeah, I mean, they're kind of the same ilk, but different products.
Or same elk, almost.
That would be an interesting barbecue menu item. Elk burgers, those
yeah,
are good.
Elk, yeah. 46862, the Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. Coming up on the show in our next hour, Shane Alberani is going to join us on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline. Of course, he had the call of the Comets' exciting victory in Game 5 over the Wichita Thunder. The overtime thriller from Matt Bowden's. We'll kind of recap that Wichita series and look ahead to Allen, which starts on Friday night down in the Dallas, Texas area. And so Shane will be on the road this weekend, bringing you the action live from Allen on Friday and Saturday nights. And it can be heard on our sister station, 1190 WOWO and 107.5 FM. Don't forget, it is a White Sox Wednesday right here on the Sports Rush. We've got a chance for you to win White Sox tickets, a four-pack of tickets to the game a week from Friday. We've also got a parking pass that's included with the four-pack of tickets, and we'll give you a chance to win at some point during the Sports Rush today. And this little hint, it is going to come up in our next hour. So sometime after 5, you'll have a chance to win. And sometime just near the top of the hour, I might even tell you even a greater hint as to when we've got our White Sox Wednesday giveaway. But if you're a White Sox fan, if you're just a Major League Baseball fan, I'll tell you this, Caleb. You know that a couple of weeks ago, I took my son. He flew all the way up here from Florida just to take the weekend and go to the Padres-Cubs game with me. And I said, you know, you don't get many opportunities to go to Wrigley Field in Chicago. You don't get many opportunities to experience a Major League Baseball game with your dad. I don't know about you, but in my entire life, some of the top memories, I mean, that I can recall, things that you did when you were growing up, right near the top of the list is spending a day with dad going to a Major League Baseball game. I mean, there is nothing like that. And so I wanted to make sure my son got a chance to experience it. So we flew him up. We took him to Wrigley, had a chance to experience Padres Cubs, had the time of his life. And then we sent him back home. So I don't have to worry about him. No, actually, it was a great weekend, and it's one of those memories that going to a ball game with your kid, your family, your boys, your girls, whatever it might be, it's one of those things you really need to do. It really is one of those special moments, and we're going to make one of those special moments happen, because coming up in our next hour, we've got that four-pack of tickets to White Sox baseball. They'll take on the Seattle Mariners a week from Friday, and you could be there courtesy of the Sports Rush and 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Plenty still on the way, including Shane Alberani. We'll talk about playoff P. Can he carry the Clippers? News of injuries in the NBA to some of the superstars, and LeBron James weighing in on his thoughts as he has some harsh things to say toward the NBA. We'll talk about that and more when we come back. It's a packed edition of the Sports Rush on a Wednesday on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Back on the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. Coming up, we've got a White Sox Wednesday giveaway, a four-pack of tickets, plus a parking pass. We're going to be doing that in our next hour. Also, we're going to be talking to Shane Alberani. We've got plenty of news from the NBA, including injuries, coaches that have been fired, and we've got NFL protocols for those that have been vaccinated versus those that have not been fully vaccinated. You're going to be rather surprised, I think, at the list and the separation of what you can do and not do if you're vaccinated versus not vaccinated. It's not necessarily the NFL saying you must be vaccinated, but based on this list, you almost have to be. to be able to survive the season mentally and emotionally. But we'll talk about that and what it means with the NFL putting out this list that they sent to teams today. We've got it coming up, and we've got your text at 46862 on the Parkview Sports Medicine text line. This is the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.
Podcasts by Federated Media.